Wake up, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. Co-host is Bob Belts, the smartest man in the world. He's shaking his head.
Not quite.
Yes, you
are. Always do that to me. Little Bruce Springsteen to wake up this morning.
Our guest recommended this.
That's right.
She's quite a bit younger.
She actually didn't know who Roy Orbison was.
Hey, hey, Clib, you are a genius. Seriously. Mark Clibby just brought us some M&Ms to get started today. So welcome, everybody. We appreciate that you tune in and stay with us. You're going to be blessed today.
So how are you doing this morning, Bo?
In one word, never better. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to our show this morning and also looking forward to church at Highline Community Church at 10. So I hope anybody listening that doesn't have a place to go will come and drop in. And
what goes on over there anyways? A little strange?
You know, it's a very casual time of usually some great music led by our mutual friend Biff Gore. And then we, you know, just try and open up the Bible and figure out what does it say, what does it mean, and how do we use it to follow Christ and have the kind of life that he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So,
do you know Ed McVaney?
I do know Ed.
Do you know that he took 40 lessons on the practice tee with a teaching pro before he played golf? And now he's very good at golf. But 40 lessons, he said, is about what I need to learn this game. So it's funny. If you want to learn how to speak French, I would go to a class. And if you want to really get pretty good at golf, I'd get 40 lessons like our friend Ed did. And if you're wondering about spiritual things, don't be gun-shy. Go. Expose yourself to preachers like Bob here and learn what the Bible has to say.
You know, and that's a great segue into introducing our guests this morning, because one of the, I'd say one of the most amazing tools created in, I don't know, 100 years, is a course about the meaning of life called the Alpha Course. And this morning, our guest is Nicole Sidebottom. And Nicole, I'm giving her a new title, Bo. She is the Executive Vice President of Administrative Sorts of Things.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, when we
for
met,
Alpha.
When
for
we
Alpha
met
here.
Nicole and Jose, we walked away saying, we want Nicole on the program.
That's right. So, Nicole.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Bo, Nicole has got this great smile on her face and a sparkle in her eyes. And why don't you tell us a little bit first about, you know, what was life like growing up for you, and maybe a little bit about your, you know, spiritual journey, and we'll eventually get to Alpha here. How's that?
Sure, sure. I grew up in a very small town in the northeast part of the state, a town called Anton.
Never heard of it.
Most people have not.
How small are we talking
now,
here?
Which state would that be?
Yes, still in Colorado, but it looks like you're in Kansas. Uh-huh. It had 30 people in it.
30?
Mm-hmm. My brother and I were actually really the only children in the town.
This is smaller than Cloud Sheaf, but I didn't know there was a town smaller than Cloud
Sheaf.
You
know, Arthur would say Rhode Island would beat the tar out of this town in a war. I believe that's how he said it, isn't it?
Yes, that is small. It was very small, and my family was actually the only family in the community that did not farm. So we were surrounded by, you know, rural things and lots of cows and wheat fields. But my family did other things. And I grew up in a small school as well then. There were about 100 of us, K through 12. And a small church. I went to a small community church. And everything centered around the school and the church.
It's all right to be little bitty. Who's singing that song?
I don't know. You know songs that no one else knows.
With the white hat. Alan Jackson.
Oh.
Didn't quite sing it with the flair I just presented. But
wow.
Well, it's okay. Yeah. Small town, but
yes.
Sounds like a good town.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. And I was there until I left for college. I went to Colorado Christian University in Lakewood for 4 years and got a degree in psychology there. And then.
So what do you think about Bo so far?
I knew he was going to beat me to that.
Oh, well, don't answer that question.
Yes. Get ready to come with that.
Yeah, and then afterwards, I got a degree from Denver Seminary in counseling. So I am a part-time counselor as well as working with Alpha. Okay.
Well, tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey. Now, you were in this small town. I mean, were your family, did they have a relationship with Christ? And was this something that really kind of came in your life later?
Mm. I grew up in a Christian home. And my family has always been very faithful and taught me a lot about what it means to love Jesus. I think my story is more of after leaving home, trying to figure out what my faith meant to me and really taking ownership of my spiritual journey. So I tried a lot of different churches. I tried a lot of different things and trying to figure out what fit for me. And I realized that no matter really what denomination I chose or what type of ministry I was involved in, I just knew I wanted to love people. Mm-hmm. I had felt like God had loved me so well in such an intimate and really personal way that I just wanted to show people Jesus' love wherever I was, wherever that took me.
Wow. And you're doing a good job of it because we met in a formal setting, and I thought you were the shining light. Now, wait a minute. Now, think about it. She was the only woman there, wasn't she?
Well, she was and, but she did have the brightest smile, and anyway, made all of us feel very welcome together. So how did you, well, first of all, tell our listeners, you know, many of them probably don't have any idea what Alpha is, so maybe tell us a little bit about how you got involved, but tell us, what is Alpha?
Yeah. Alpha is a 10-week course that introduces people to the basics of the Christian faith, and they get to explore whether Jesus is relevant for them or not. There's always good food. There's a talk about just really who is Jesus? Why did he die? How can I pray? How can I have faith? Really basic things. And then people are allowed to discuss in small groups what they think about those things. They can agree, they can disagree, they can learn, they can seek, or they can sit and not say anything.
Or drop out.
Absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
Most don't, do they?
No, most people stay. I think one of the amazing things about Alpha is that it provides a space in our culture where there isn't a lot of space to just talk about spirituality. Not necessarily have someone tell you what they think is right or give you all the quote-unquote answers, but you just get to talk and you get to ask questions. And so the Alpha course really meets people wherever they're at on their spiritual journey.
Somebody's listening thinking, boy, that can't be very appealing to many people. Go to a 10-week course to learn about Jesus. And yet tell me, how many people have experienced this Alpha course?
Worldwide, there have been 16 million people go through the course.
16 million. So see, wrong again, Bible breath. You're listening to this thinking nobody's going. 16 million have gone. All we're doing is asking you to check it out. Maybe you haven't darkened the doors of a church and don't want to. You don't have to. Just go to an Alpha class.
Absolutely.
When did you first get exposed and connected?
About 3 years ago, I went. I had some friends, actually, who went on a trip to Kenya. And they stopped over in London for a layover. And London is where Alpha originated, at a church called Holy Trinity Brompton. And they found themselves in this church and said, hey, Alpha looks really amazing. I wonder if we could do that in our church. And they brought it back to Christ Church, which is where I attend. Mm. And we have started Alpha since then. We've done about 4 or 5 courses. We do them in breweries. We do them in churches. We do them in homes. You can attend Alpha anywhere. So I was a volunteer for about a year and then have been on staff with Alpha for just over a year.
You know, talk to the guy here, Bob, first of all, about what would Christ say about doing this course in a brewery?
I was just saying, you know, you ought to talk a little bit more about that because I think Bo might actually go to an Alpha course if
Absolutely.
It was in a brewery. So
I was looking for a serious answer. Yeah. It's not the issue, is it?
Well, you know, isn't it great? I think, you know, we're first of all, I'm a pastor, so I have a passion for the church, and I think great things happen there. But the tendency always is to get a little ingrown without having a sort of an outer perspective. And, you know, when you think about Alpha, which it's great in the church, and I'd say probably, you know, most of the courses are probably held in churches. Yes. And by the way, what is it, like 25,000 churches around the world that have run it? Mm-hmm. They get those numbers. And I think, I don't know, 100 countries? Is it more than 100 countries now?
I think we're right at 161 countries.
Yeah,
right now.
Which is just amazing, you know. And it's run in, you know, it's run in Methodist churches. It's run in Catholic churches. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, run in, you know, Bible kinds of churches. So it's really adaptable. But the great thing, looking at the way, you know, Alpha has also been able to kind of get outside the box and to get into places. I know that there are Alpha classes in prisons, Alpha classes for youth. And I remember picking up the brochure and reading that you guys had a course going. Is it at Breckenridge Brewery?
Yes,
where you got it?
Yes.
See, and you got to think that Christ would love that, you know,
absolutely.
Frankly, you know, I mean, you know, churches can get boring, you know, but what a place to host a class. So. Yes. Has that gone well?
It has. It has. We tend to get people who would not even think of stepping foot into a church, but, you know, are comfortable coming into a brewery and having a beer and talking about Jesus.
Yeah, Bo's really good at that. I know.
You keep bringing that up. I do think, though, it was even infuriating to the people in the time of Christ that that's where he hung around with was people that I guess the purists would have thought, wait a minute, tax collectors and folks from the brewery, you crazy or something?
Yeah, they actually accused him of being a drunkard and a glutton, you know, so, and which, you know, he probably was neither, you know, but obviously he enjoyed life and enjoyed a meal. So much of what he did was really around a meal, and that's part of the Alpha, you know, course, is that every session is around a meal, so everybody gets a good meal as well as the opportunity that Nicole was talking about. So
talk about that just a little bit, will you? That it doesn't, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean you're never going to mess up again or have a beer. If that's not a mess up, that's not the issue, or swear or think crummy thoughts, or I don't know, speak to that just a little bit, because people get confused on the issue here.
Well, you know, and you don't want to step on anybody's toes, because, you know, some of our listeners probably go to, you know, to churches perhaps that have more of a kind of a smaller box to operate out of. I don't know exactly how to say it. You know, the New Testament addresses it quite a bit, because in their time, you know, the big issues were particularly in the Greek culture were food that had been sacrificed to idols. I mean, you know, oftentimes the social world revolved around the actual temples of pagan gods. And so if you'd come into a relationship, you know, with Christ, and your next door neighbor said, hey, you know, we're having dinner over at the temple tonight, I mean, there were issues they had to struggle with. And Paul kind of deals with it and basically says, you know, it's really oftentimes a matter of conscience. And, you know, if in your conscience, certain things, you know, we'll use the beer issue, you know, maybe you've grown up and maybe you've had a problem or your family has, and alcohol is a real negative to you. And in your experience, you've been taught, you know, that Christians shouldn't drink. Now, on the other hand, maybe you grew up in a Lutheran church in Germany, let's say, and actually drinking beer is part of your culture. And if someone were to say Christians don't drink beer, you'd kind of look at each other like, well, we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Martin Luther. And, you know, and we know that he drank beer. So anyway, you know, some of these things are sensitivity issues that you try and be sensitive to each other. And, you know, Paul basically would say that, hey, you know, I know that I'm free to do certain things, but if it causes, you know, problems for somebody else, I'm going to be sensitive to them. So, you know, and again, I think the thing you're probably trying to, you know, push at too a little bit, Bo, is, you know, you don't have to be a weirdo to follow Jesus. I mean, he was, you know, he was so attractive to the people of his day, and he still is, that, you know, to be able to be around him, he was filled with life. There's actually a a kind of a prophecy that I'm sure was fulfilled in his life, where it said, you've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above all your companions. And my way of kind of looking at that is, I really do believe that Jesus was the most joyful person that's ever lived on the planet. And I think that probably that joy and vitality is what, you know, drew people to him that had no clue who the guy was, you know, and then he, of course, he could kind of impart the words of life to them and talk with them about God's love. So
I'm also driving at some of these issues, keep people away from an alpha class or darkening the doors of a church, like Nicole said earlier. They're worried about, I could never measure up in these areas, and those aren't the issues. Believe me, my wife Gary and I just celebrated our 40th anniversary, wedding anniversary, and had she known a little more about me at the start, she probably wouldn't have jumped in for 40 years. Now she knows a lot about me. A lot more questions have been answered. It's all pretty clear. So that's how it is with Christ. Just jump in there, start, and you're going to get great answers that are exciting and wonderful.
Why don't you tell us a little bit, that kind of reminds me, you know, tell us a little bit about what are the specific kinds of things that are addressed in the Alpha class? Because this is the kind of thing, really, in some sense, that someone, you know, wrestling through some of these issues, Alpha is a great place to go, even sure. if you don't, you know, buy into the deal yet, but, you know, it's a great place to interact and talk. But there's sort of as a sequence of what the issues are that Alpha addresses. What are some of those?
The first three talks in the course are devoted to Jesus, just figuring out who he is, what he did, and the all kind of encompassing question, why did he die? Why did he die for our sins? Why did he have to die? And then the course moves into faith. How can we have faith? And it really introduces the concept of the Trinity. And I know that's a hard concept for people in the church and for people outside of the church. So Alpha does their best to really break down the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there are two talks on prayer and how to read the Bible. And again, just very basic, why should I do this and how can I do it? And then there's a weekend away devoted to the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? And then third, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? So Alpha not only gives an introduction to this idea of God, but then also invites guests to experience him personally. And then the second part of the course is devoted to really hard questions that people ask. How can I resist evil? What do I do with suffering, with this problem of evil in the world? And then, does God heal today? Does he have an answer to evil and suffering? And then the last two talks are, how can I share my faith with others? Why should I tell people about what I've been doing in Alpha? Why should I tell people about Jesus? And then last, what about the church? What do I do with this institution called the church?
Good stuff.
And the Bible says, forsake not the gathering together of the saints. That's what you do with the church, is once you get on into this, you go. You find a place you're comfortable and you go, don't you?
And I think it's important for people that are kind of on the outside and maybe they've had a bad experience. Maybe they've, you know, tried going to a church, haven't been to a, first of all, I think going to an Alpha class is a great way to sort of get started. And we'll talk a little bit about how to find one of those in a minute. But I think that, you know, if you go to a church, a lot of times if you have a really bad experience, it's kind of like you walk away saying, I'm not doing that again, you know, or why would I do that? And I think it's real important. There's churches are so different. I mean, literally every church is a, you know, has a personality. And usually what happens is the most successful kind of an experience you have is when you find a church that has a personality that kind of fits your personality. And they're out there, you know. So my encouragement would be, you know, I always tell people, you know, shop around a little bit. Go visit some places. Talk with your friends that you know maybe go to church. And just find a, you know, because really what it is it's a community. It's a community of people that, you know, that you can share your life with, a place where hopefully, that you can grow in your understanding of Jesus and your understanding of the Bible and how it fits into your life, but then also this place to connect with other people, and then a place that together you can reach out and try and make a difference in the world. So it's, you know, it can be such a huge enriching part of a person's life. And oftentimes if they've had a real negative experience, you know, you're missing something.
And I want to say this about church and the Alpha class. I don't think I said this when we first met, but it popped into my mind. But in the 20 years I've been associated with the Nuggets and the chapel program there, all kinds of interesting things have happened. But one kid from Stanford, who is a really good friend, never came to chapel first year he was here. And at the end of the season playing golf, I asked him, why would you never come to chapel? And he said, truthfully, I was afraid you were going to ask me a question in front of the other guys that was going to embarrass me. Mm. And I said, well, I wish we'd had this discussion, because we don't ask questions and we don't embarrass people. So
yeah, that's why at Highline we just have people that are visiting stand up and jog around the sanctuary three times, and it sort of takes a lot of the pressure off, Bo.
It's funny, isn't he, Nicole?
Yeah. He is.
So starting with Alpha, I mean, somebody's got this feeling like my friend did and others we've all encountered. How do you break that down and get them to come?
I think a personal invitation is always the best. And the friends that I have invited to Alpha, what I usually say is, come once, and if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. And nothing about Alpha is pressured. You don't have to participate. You don't have to talk. You don't have to ask questions. You don't have to eat. Most people want to eat, but you don't have to do anything in Alpha. We're just happy that you come.
Okay, so I got a couple of questions, and before we have to finish up here today, one, why don't you tell us, number one, how people can get more information? Number two, how do you find an Alpha course? And then number three, if you're like me, perhaps, and you're in leadership in a church, what does the church need to do to get up to speed? And maybe, I know we're getting ready to launch an Alpha course in the fall. We're excited about it. We've never done it before, so we're in that process. So tell our listeners a little bit about how they can get plugged in.
Sure. You can go to alpha.org is our website, and that has information on our courses. So you just click on find a course and type in your zip code, and you get all of the courses running near you. So you can pick whichever is most convenient. It has information on the day of the week it runs, on times. It's all on our website, alpha.org. Click on find a course.
Okay.
And then the same thing as well, alpha.org has a lot of information on trainings, upcoming events, ways to get in contact with myself and other people in our office if you're a church who's interested in running the course.
Great.
Nicole and Jose, who is a great guy, come and speak.
Yes, he is.
I know. Jose has roped us in by saying that if we started a course, he'd come help us run it. See,
so. Good. That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
You've promised that to everyone listening.
We're getting Jose.
All right. Well, good. So a lot of them periodically getting started so people can jump in at the start and get some traction in their pursuit of faith. I like this. What's the normal size of a group, just for people that are thinking about going to alpha.org and clicking on to find a course?
Most courses are about 20 to 30 people. The small groups that people are in are no larger than 10. So it's not intimidating, but large enough that you can remain anonymous if you'd like.
You can hide.
That's right.
You know, I sit in the back row. I just don't like being up in there.
Yep.
It's okay, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I asked a seminary professor, do you notice where I sit in your class? He said, yes, back corner. I said, does that make a statement to you? And he said, I'm assuming you're working on a real estate deal. I think he gave me a C just because he liked me.
That's right. That's when he assigned you Kierkegaard or something.
So. What about you, Nicole? You sticking with Alpha? Is this where you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Absolutely. I love this program. It has completely changed the way I view people, the way I view ministry. I love it.
Well, you seem to be planted in the right place, and you're doing a great job. And thank you for your leadership and your assistance of Jose and all the things you guys do.
Yeah, we'll talk with him about your new title, by the way.
Yes, please do. Thank you.
Executive Vice President. So.
So 20 to 30 at a time in an alpha group, millions around the world have attended.
Yes.
Well, I think it's so critical. The first way you're exposed to the truth of the gospel is so critical as to how you respond and how comfortable you are. So please, if you're listening and you're questioning at all where you are in your faith, or if you're listening and you have friends that are questioning and you want to bring them to an alpha class, go to alpha.org, click on find a course, and make this the year you do something about it, either for yourself, family members or friends, or just people you've run into here and there. It'll be a blessing, as we say, on this program. Nicole, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Tell them real quick about Highline, because that might be a good shopping place for some of our listeners.
10 o'clock this morning, just north of the corner of Arapahoe and University. Highline Community Church. Sits on the park, across the parking lot from Goodson Rec Center. If you get lost, Goodson people are walking in shorts. Our people are walking in jeans. Jeans and shorts.
Good.
So Bob will be preaching, and come hear him if you want to. Thanks for letting us know that you tune into this program, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and we pray you'll be blessed in whatever it is you're doing.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
See you next week.